elevate the game. Fall was in the air, and Randy thought about the last time he was in St. Louis. It was this time last year when he experienced the great game of business at the National Gathering of Games Conference. And today he was back again. This time, instead of just attending, he was also presenting. Sam had suggested it months ago, reminding Randy of Tom's Pay It Forward story. Telling his story at the gathering brought with it a mix of feelings, nervousness, excitement, anticipation. He was set at ease a bit when Tom and Sam agreed to present as a panel, to talk about the challenges and rewards of implementing the game for the first time. The room was packed. Every seat was filled, and there were people lining the walls. Wow, standing room only. Hope I don't let them down, he thought. It was humbling. The session began on time, and Randy told the group about his father, the company, his trip to St. Louis last year. He told of Tom and told the story of their visit to his huddle and how instrumental Sam's experience was in their success. Ongoing business and financial training. Once we established our huddle rhythm, it was a steady diet of business and financial literacy. Although we didn't call it financial literacy training, we call it Path to Achieving Your Stake in the Outcome. We did it through formal classroom training and backed it up with constant literacy bites in the huddle, small, bite-sized lessons we could teach in 15 to 20 minutes. Doesn't seem like much at the time, but if you do one or two a month, you can easily get 12 to 24 lessons into a year without even thinking about it. And the lessons seemed to stick because they were short enough for people to grasp. One of our first bites was called The Biggest Bang for the Buck. The purpose was to show how anyone in the company can make a significant impact on the bottom line. We explored the relationship between the effects of a percentage increase in sales versus a percentage reduction in expenses. What will give us the biggest bang for the buck? Pretty simple, but very impactful. Sam added, "And because we're growing, that means we're hiring. We have to be diligent about assessing, onboarding, training our new people so we don't dilute our own culture." They shared photos of the big financial scoreboard and the themed critical number scoreboard, even their team scoreboards at each department. Sam explained how the cascading of scorecards made such a big difference in visibility and accountability. "It's really great when everyone on the team knows which way the goal is," he said at one point, and the audience laughed out loud. One of the most foreign things for everybody was forward forecasting. In fact, Sam called it poorcasting at first, which raised another round of laughter. Randy went on, "But we got it in time, and now our people couldn't and wouldn't live without it. It's their chance to control their own destiny." The audience was feverishly taking notes. The three speakers had set aside time for Q&A, and hands flew up without asking twice. A young woman standing against the wall called out, "So did you hit your critical numbers?" Sam answered, "We had a number of wins. We paid out a bonus for the first and second quarters. Our profit before tax critical number paid out on a level 7 in the second quarter. Everyone enjoyed 5.5 days of additional pay, and they're forecasting to do better in the third quarter. It's been great to see everyone driving efficiencies around the company." From the front row came a challenge. "But did you diversify your company? Did you hit that critical number?" People leaned forward to hear the answer. Randy took this one. "I don't think we're going to do it, honestly. First quarter, we really struggled with it. It took a lot of communication to keep people focused. They were rock stars on the profit side, but changing behaviors around the importance of non-code blue gross margin was a challenge. Fortunately, we've had a good year so far in our code blue restoration business. But the threat is still there. What if the code blue business isn't so good? I want us to eliminate that weakness." Sam added, "Yeah, imagine hitting level 7 on PBT and 0 on non-code blue." People wondered why we even had a second critical number. Randy continued, "You bet they did. It's human nature. But we persisted and kept up the huddles and the education. It was the mini-games, though, that really cracked the code. They were an incredible source of innovation, engagement, and problem-solving. They kept people in the game and lent focus to the importance of the non-code blue work. Second quarter is when they really started to see the light. We ended up doing very well on diversifying, or as we call it, our code green efforts. Not as well as PBT, but well. Our people have added $88,000 in non-code blue gross margin and hit level 4, which paid out another 3 days of additional pay. Boy, did we have fun celebrating that win. Tom added, combined with the PBT bonus, everyone came out of the second quarter on track to receive 11% of their annual wages and bonuses if they keep up the momentum. They all know exactly what's at stake. The crowd spontaneously burst into applause. These stories were a big reason people came to the gathering. From the front row, a man in a navy blazer calmly asked, "So, what's next, Randy?" High involvement planning. "Good question," Randy answered. "I've been thinking a lot about that lately. It's been a year since we started getting into the game and almost 9 months since we started playing. Our people are really understanding the business, so much so that they are not only asking the right questions, but they're coming up with the answers. I think we're ready to involve them more in planning the business for next year." Tom spoke up. "A year ago, you'd never believe that this man would be standing up here telling his story, much less about including his people in high involvement planning." Tom carried a lot of weight with this crowd as he had received the All-Star Award for his own practice of the game. Incorporating a high involvement planning process was how we took the game to the next level at my company. It made a huge difference in ensuring everybody understood and accepted the company's goals because the plan was a direct result of their input. Randy continued, "Tom is absolutely right. I'd never have believed this possible. But when we get back, we'll be conducting the 360 appraisal process again. From the GGOB practice assessment to the employee surveys, financial trend analysis, the works. The difference this time around is that all of us will be a part of the company's planning process. Developing our plan will be a company-wide effort." Randy added, "Our planning process has traditionally consisted of me and our managers, the supposedly smartest people in the room, heading out on a retreat to plan the coming year. But as I've said many times before, we'd come down from the mountaintop, sacred tablets in hand, and without fail be sorely disappointed with the lack of enthusiasm shared by our employees about our grand plans. I want to change the mindset from "that's your plan" to "this is our plan." There should be agreement and buy-in at all levels. Granted, the management team will continue to work closely to bring the plan together, but the process should include input from all the stakeholders of the company. As Tom pointed out to me, to get real ownership in the plan, we have to focus on how people are involved in the process. If people don't participate, they don't buy in. If they don't buy in, they don't commit. If they don't commit, they don't deliver. Tom added, "We've found that our people became more and more curious about the company's market, its strategies, its competitive advantages, and where the company's headed and how we plan to get there. They want to know what's in store for them. In fact, without that context, they won't have any reason to keep caring about the numbers." Randy said, "We understand this is just another step in fully implementing the game. We also acknowledge that getting everyone involved in putting the game's annual plan together is a huge task. We probably won't get it right the first year, but we'll make a point to take the time to educate everybody on the process, giving them the tools they need to contribute and involving as many people as possible. The first step is to get buy-in on the top line. To do that, we've scheduled our sales and marketing presentations a month from now to address that. People are already clamoring to pull together information, and they're gathering all the competitive intelligence they can find. It's really exciting to be a part of." Randy almost choked up. As the session time was ending, Tom asked for one final question from the audience. Hands shot up, and someone shouted from the back, "Whatever happened to Gerald?" Everyone in the audience laughed, because Sam had mentioned in the presentation that not everyone had been on board through this implementation. Randy tried to contain a smile, but it didn't work. Well, Gerald hung in there, but by spring it was pretty clear that the more transparency and accountability we embraced, the less it looked like a place Gerald wanted to work. He self-selected out and took another job, fortunately with our competitor. Everyone laughed out loud. Tom couldn't resist adding, "So, where would you invest your money? In a company full of Randy's people or a company full of Gerald's?" Sam spoke up. "But seriously, it created an opportunity for Meredith, the assistant manager, to step up and take the reins at the dry cleaning operation." There was more laughter and applause from the audience as they congratulated and thanked Randy and the panel for their amazing story. Offers to help and requests to visit flooded in as the session ended and people left the meeting room. Randy was certain of one thing. He was going to call his dad. That weekend, they'd be laughing in that bass boat together. This has been The Great Game of Business, Get in the Game, The Interactive Guide. Copyright 2013, The Great Game of Business, Incorporated. Written by Rich Armstrong and Steve Baker. Read by Steve Baker. For more information and resources, visit www.greatgame.com.